And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. We'll have more from them coming up a little bit later on in the show this morning. Well, yesterday afternoon, really an incredible situation unfolding in Arizona as literally hundreds of thousands of people attempted to get into State Farm Stadium. It's the home of the Arizona Cardinals football team in Glendale. People waiting in line 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning to get a seat inside the stadium, which this is not like an arena. This is a NFL football stadium that holds somewhere between, in the stands, somewhere between 80 and 90,000 people. There was, of course, floor seating because there was not a sporting event going on. There was another venue next door that had turned into an overflow room where people were watching on screens. That was also full. And so the estimated number of people is over 100,000. Could be hundreds of thousands. It not immediately clear how many people were in attendance, but you had those people in person and then hundreds of thousands more, millions of folks watching, streaming online, watching on various news outlets throughout the day. Yesterday, I saw an interesting post from Steve Chung, who is the deputy director of communications at the White House, showing they've got some, I guess, some technology in the White House, which no surprise, that has access to pretty much every television network across the world. And you can see here in this, you know, all of these screens, all of the networks covering this. Of course, you know, you'd expect that the Fox News and some others, but you've got Sky News, BBC, other news networks across the United States, or across the country, I should say, airing in part the tribute, the 8-9 hour tribute, which started with a church service to Charlie Kirk yesterday, wrapping up with comments from his now widowed wife in Erica Kirk, and then finishing it out, ringing it home, the president of the United States, Donald Trump, in a remarkable event that took place yesterday in Glendale, Arizona. This morning, I don't really have a whole lot to say about it. We're just going to listen into a variety of different people that spoke, some of the more, some of the speeches and some of the individuals that really kind of took the conversation in a really unique direction and provided an incredible amount of insight. And so we're going to jump right into it this morning. We're going to start off with Secretary of State Marco Rubio. These are his comments yesterday in Arizona as not only Turning Point USA, but the nation as a whole, and really, you might even argue, the world remembered Charlie Kirk. Here's the Secretary of State.
About maybe 10 or 12 years ago, a person I knew very well, had been very helpful to me in my campaigns when I was in the Senate, came to me and said she had met this very impressive young man. And he was going to start this group to go on college campuses and try to convince young Americans that ours is the greatest country in the history of the world and that Marxism was bad. And I remember thinking back then, I'm going to admit to you guys, I was a little skeptical. I said, college campuses, you're going to do that? Why don't you start somewhere easier, like, for example, communist Cuba, you know? But my skepticism was proven wrong. In place after place over the last 12, 14, 16 years, we've seen this renaissance. Understand where we were at that time in our history. Understand where we are still today in many places, where young Americans are actively told that everything that they were taught, that all the foundations that made our society and our civilization so grand, they were all wrong, they were all evil, that marriage is oppressive, that children are a burden, that America is a source of evil, not of good in the world.
I'm going to pause the secretary right there. I'm going to try my best not to jump in too often because we've got a lot to get to. And yeah, these individuals have a lot more insight than I do on this. But the point there that Marco Rubio is making is one that should not be underscored. And this is something that, yes, of course, Charlie Kirk really championed with Turning Point USA, the success of the entity and organization that it became. But the Secretary of State is really highlighting the growing issue that you have seen on these so-called institutions of higher learning over the last couple of decades, where you are no longer taught anything useful, where you are told that all of your beliefs, all of the structural foundations that make up your life and your upbringing, it's all wrong because it's oppressing people based on their race or their religion or their sex. That the country in which you live, which gives individuals the only shot in the world to live the American dream, to come from literally nothing, nothing, abject poverty, into becoming an incredibly successful individual. I mean, Christ, just look at the Vice President of the United States and J.D. Vance. Grew up in a broken family with an abusive, drug-addled mother to now the Vice President of the United States of America. That doesn't happen anywhere else but here. And the Secretary is right for pointing out what Charlie Kirk was doing and will continue to do. His legacy will live on with the issues, some of the discussion and conversation existing on college campuses. More from Rubio.
And here was this voice that inspired a movement in which young Americans were told that is not true. The highest calling we are called to is to be in a successful marriage and to raise productive children. And a movement that taught them that ours was not a great country, but the greatest, most exceptional nation that has ever existed in the history of all of mankind. And that it's worth fighting for, it's worth defending, it's worth preserving, and it's worth passing on to the next generation. This was the mission and the work of Charlie Kirk. And a couple things that stand out about him: he led this movement, but he did so with incredible knowledge. It's unbelievable how much he knew. He came to me very recently. He said some quote. I said, who said that? He said, Marcus Aurelius. I said, what district does he represent? I kind of knew who it was, but he said back, no, it's a Roman, you know, philosopher king or emperor. His incredible knowledge. Let me tell you that one of the last messages I had with him was just a few days before his passing, where he wrote me from overseas, I'm in South Korea, I have many concerns I want to share with you when I get back. He was constantly expanding his horizons, but he just didn't have knowledge. He had wisdom, an uncanny amount of wisdom for a man as young as he was. Wisdom that sometimes it takes a lifetime to accumulate. He had it in just 31 years. He was also bold. It is so easy. And listen, I've been guilty of it. I think many of us have been guilty of this. You hide behind the walls and you surround yourself with people that agree with you. We do it as a society all the time. Increasingly, people are moving into neighborhoods with other people that agree with them politically and isolate themselves from people that do not agree with them. But Charlie Kirk was bold. He actively sought out to engage peacefully, respectfully, those who he disagreed with. As recently as 2 days ago, we learned of one of the hosts on CNN who said that one of the messages he had gotten just a few days before Charlie's passing was from him, inviting him to dialogue. And he did this on campuses, he did this on podcasts, he did this on radio shows, he did this on television shows. Time and again, he sought to engage those he disagreed with because he understood that we were not created to isolate ourselves from one another, but to engage. The irony in all this is that what our nation needs, one of the many things it needs, is the ability to discuss our differences openly, honestly, peacefully, respectfully. And Charlie Kirk did that more than anyone alive in America today is doing. And Charlie Kirk was impactful. Impactful because of all the things I've said, but look around this place. There's 100-something thousand people here. The President of the United States is here. His entire cabinet is here. Television audio outlets and media outlets from all over the world are covering this. I just came from overseas, and every country I stopped, they gave us their condolences for his passing. Impactful in just 31 years of life. He made a difference. He mattered. and he will matter now more than he ever has before. And let me close with this. How do you remember? This is a memorial service. It's to honor him. How do you best remember it? I'll take the liberty of saying what I think we can best do. Look, I think he had a tremendous impact on young Americans in general. I think he had a very special and direct impact on young men in this country. That's one of the greatest developments I've seen. It's been very positive. I think we remember him for that. I think we remember him for constantly saying, you want to live a productive life, get married, start a family, love your country. These are powerful messages. But I hope many who are watching, I imagine there are people watching here tonight that didn't know much about Charlie Kirk until 11 days ago. Maybe they were disengaged from politics. Maybe they were partially engaged. I hope one of the things they take from this is that the movement Charlie Kirk led and started and gave fuel to was about politics, but not only about politics. It was deeper. It was broader. And I would say that, taking the liberty, but I'm confident he would agree, one of the things he wants us to take away from this, from all of this, is the following. His deep belief that we were all created, every single one of us, before the beginning of time, by the hands of the God of the universe, an all-powerful God, who loved us and created us for the purpose of living with him in eternity. But then sin entered the world and separated us from our Creator. And so God took on the form of a man and came down and lived among us. And he suffered like men. And he died like a man. But on the third day, he rose unlike any mortal man. And to prove any doubters wrong, he ate with his disciples so they could see, and they touched his wounds. He didn't rise as a ghost or as a spirit, but as flesh. And then he rose to the heaven, but he promised he would return, and he will. And when he returns, because he took on that death, because he carried that cross, we were freed from the sin that separated us from him. And when he returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will all be together, and we are going to have a great reunion there again with Charlie and all the people we love. Thank you, and God bless you.
Some very strong commentary there from Secretary of State Marco Rubio yesterday in Glendale, Arizona, as Turning Point USA held a massive tribute and memorial to the founder and, up until just a week and a half ago, the CEO and president of Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk. As Rubio noted, and as you may have seen on social media yesterday, literally the entire cabinet was there. Folks close to President Donald Trump, one of the things coming out, Elon Musk and Trump seemingly rekindling, sitting together for a period of time. It's not immediately clear what discussions went on. I'm sure it was just some general pleasantries between the two, but great to see those two get reconnected. And Stephen Miller, and his commentary is being taken two different ways. You've got folks that are saying this is absolutely what needs to be said, and then you've got other folks that are saying it was way too fiery, maybe even a little inappropriate for the scene. And so let's listen to it. It's in its entire, it's about 5 minutes long. The White House Chief of Staff, Stephen Miller, you've seen a lot of him over the last couple of months. Pretty much anytime Trump's in the Oval Office signing anything, you've got Miller introducing it to the president. So here is the White House Chief of Staff and Stephen Miller at yesterday's event. And he held really nothing back as it relates to the political left and really the kind of, what I'll argue, the political crossroads that we're at right now in our country. Here's Steve Miller.
The day that Charlie died, the angels wept, but those tears have been turned into fire in our hearts. And that fire burns with a righteous fury that our enemies cannot comprehend or understand. When I see Erica and her strength and her courage, I am reminded of a famous expression. The storm whispers to the warrior that you cannot withstand my strength. And the warrior whispers back, I am the storm. Erica is the storm. We are the storm. And our enemies cannot comprehend our strength, our determination, our resolve, our passion. Our lineage and our legacy hails back to Athens, to Rome, to Philadelphia, to Monticello. Our ancestors built the cities. They produced the art and architecture. They built the industry. Erica stands on the shoulders of thousands of years of warriors, of women who raised up families, raised up city, raised up industry, raised up civilization, who pulled us out of the caves and the darkness into the light. The light will defeat the dark. We will prevail over the forces of wickedness and evil. They cannot imagine what they have awakened. They cannot conceive of the army that they have arisen in all of us. Because we stand for what is good, what is virtuous, what is noble. And to those trying to incite violence against us, those trying to foment hatred against us, what do you have? You have nothing. You are nothing. You are wickedness, you are jealousy, you are envy, you are hatred. You are nothing. You can build nothing. You can produce nothing. You can create nothing. We are the ones who build. We are the ones who create. We are the ones who lift up humanity. You thought you could kill Charlie Kirk? You have made him immortal. You have immortalized Charlie Kirk. And now millions will carry on his legacy. And we will devote the rest of our lives to finishing the causes for which Charlie gave his last measure of devotion. You cannot defeat us. You cannot slow us. You cannot stop us. You cannot deter us. We will carry Charlie and Erica in our heart every single day and fight that much harder because of what you did to us. You have no idea the dragon you have awakened. You have no idea how determined we will be to save this civilization, to save the West, to save this republic. Because our children are strong, and our grandchildren will be strong, and our children's children's children will be strong. And what will you leave behind? Nothing, nothing. To our enemies, you have nothing to give, you have nothing to offer, you have nothing to share but bitterness. We have beauty, we have light, we have goodness, we have determination, we have vision, we have strength. We built the world that we inhabit now, generation by generation, and we will defend this world. We will defend goodness, we will defend light, we will defend virtue. You cannot terrify us, you cannot frighten us, you cannot threaten us, because we are on the side of goodness, we are on the side of God. And to my friend Charlie, to my brother Charlie, I know you are looking at us right now. I know you're watching Erica right now. I know you're watching your children right now. And I promise you, my friend, I promise you, my brother, we will prove worthy of your sacrifice. We will prove worthy of your time on earth. We will make you proud. We will finish the job. We will defeat the forces of darkness and evil. And we will stand every day for what is true, what is beautiful, what is good. And we will achieve victory for our children, for our families, for our civilization, and for every patriot who stands with us. God bless you. God bless Turning Point. God bless Erica. God bless the Kirk family. God bless our heroes. And God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
That's White House Chief of Staff Stephen Miller in a very fiery speech at the Charlie Kirk Memorial yesterday in Glendale, Arizona. And before we transition into hearing from Erica and from President Donald Trump, as I mentioned before I played that, it's being kind of received two different ways. Some folks are saying absolutely spot on, that's what needs to be said. Others are saying inappropriate, not what needed to be said at the time. And I'm going to be honest with you, folks. This is my, at this point, my third time listening to the commentary there from White House Chief of Staff and Stephen Miller. And I think that is what needs to be said. You know, he talks about the political left, our enemies, and their inability to do anything. Their inability to provide anything, to do anything, to have legacy over anything. And I think he's absolutely right. We are at, no pun intended here, but we are truly at a turning point in our country. You are looking at arguing good versus evil. You are talking about right now two political parties that I am not sure, two political movements, the hell with the parties. Let's just look at the movements themselves. Two political movements that have never been more opposed in the United States. You are seeing two different groups of people that could not be further apart on the issues. One of them, of course, is being pushed and spearheaded and led by now the 47th president of the United States, Donald Trump. The other being pushed and ran by a group of insane people that have no ideas, no solutions, nothing. Just a lot of yapping, a lot of talking, but no real policy, no real solutions, no real platform, no real anything. It's just a bunch of hot air, frankly. And you've watched that, you know, essentially play out on the national stage. And so while some don't agree with the commentary there from Stephen Miller, that's what needs to be said, folks. We are at a time of good versus evil. And I'm glad he said it. It's unfortunate that some don't think that what he said was necessarily appropriate at the time, but if this is not the time for hard conversations, then when is? You've got a major conservative icon in Charlie Kirk getting assassinated back almost 2 weeks ago. If this isn't the time for some harsh talk, if this isn't the time for some harsh reality, then presumably we never get there. These discussions need to take place now. Charlie Kirk, I would gather, would want these discussions to be taking place right now. So we'll get into some of the commentary from his wife, Erica Kirk, coming up here in just a couple of minutes. This show is only possible thanks to the great folks that support it over at patreon.com/Nick Craig with their contributions to the show, $5, $10 a month. If you believe that you are getting some value from the program here weekday mornings, you can support over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. And it's also made possible thanks to our great advertisers, including the law group here in Wilmington. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in Melissa Gott and the law group. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality and affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. And whether you're facing a variety of different legal challenges, whether you're looking at buying a house, maybe you're looking at estate planning, eminent domain, there are a lot of various legal things that you could be dealing with. No matter the issue, the law group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, they're located in our backyard, a part of our community. They're just a phone call away, 910-251-6088, or you can visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call this morning, 910-251-6088, or online at lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group. Experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate Melissa and the great folks over at the Law Group who make the Nick Craig Show possible each and every weekday morning. We are going to just continue rolling with it this morning as we've got a lot of audio and video clips to get into out of yesterday's Turning Point USA Memorial tribute to their leader and founder, Charlie Kirk. There were two final speakers, Erica his now widow, and President Donald Trump. We'll start off with some commentary from Erica Kirk yesterday afternoon in Glendale, Arizona.
11 days ago, God accepted that total surrender from my husband and then called him to his side. More than anything, Charlie wanted to do not his will, but God's will. And over these past 11 days, through all the pain, never before have I found as much comfort as I now do in the words of our Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." God's love was revealed to me on the very day my husband was murdered. On the afternoon of September 10th, I arrived at a Utah hospital to do the unthinkable, to look directly at my husband's murdered body. I saw the wound that ended his life. I felt everything you would expect to feel. I felt shock, I felt horror, and a level of heartache that I didn't even know existed. But there was something else too. Even in death, I could see the man that I love. I saw the one single gray hair on the side of his head, which I never told him about. Now he knows. Sorry, baby, telling you now, but never told him. Didn't want to. I also saw this. I also saw on his lips the faintest smile. And that told me something important. It revealed to me a great mercy from God in this tragedy. When I saw that, it told me Charlie didn't suffer. Even the doctor told me. It was something so instant that even if Charlie had been shot in the operating room itself, nothing could have been done. There was no pain. There was no fear, no agony. One moment, Charlie was doing what he loved, arguing and debating on campus, fighting for the gospel and truth in front of a big crowd. And then he blinked. He blinked and saw his Savior in paradise. And all the heavenly mysteries were revealed to him. God's love continued to be revealed to me in the days that followed. The next day on the tarmac in Air Force Two, I confronted Usha Vance, precious woman. I held her hand and I told her, honestly, I do not know how I am going to get through this. She told me something. She said, "You know when you're on an airplane with your kids and it's the last 15 minutes of the flight and things are crazy, kids are not cooperating, toys are flying everywhere and everyone's screaming. And you think to yourself, I cannot wait for this flight to land. And it's 15 minutes before you land." And she told me, "You will get through these 15 minutes and the next 15 minutes after that. Usha, I don't think you realized it then, but those words were exactly what I needed to hear. But most of all, God's mercy and God's love have been revealed to me these past 10 days. After Charlie's assassination, we didn't see violence. We didn't see rioting. We didn't see revolution. Instead, we saw what my husband always prayed he would see in this country. We saw revival. This past week, we saw people open a Bible for the first time in a decade. We saw people pray for the first time since they were children. We saw people go to a church service for the first time in their entire lives. Charlie liked to journal. And I say this because...
Before she continues with her remembrance of her husband, she just pointed out there something that you have heard me and many other folks say over the last week and a half or so. And the whole premise of my Monday show last week was, we are not the same. And that was pointed out yet again by Erica Kirk. Charlie Kirk, a staunch conservative, was assassinated at the hands of a deranged left-wing lunatic. That is a direct result of out-of-control rhetoric on the political left. And there was not a single riot anywhere in the country. Nowhere. Not one example that you can point to. Not literally not one. No Democrat Party office firebombed, no Democrat lawmakers harassed, nothing. It literally doesn't exist. Meanwhile, anytime there is any sort of issue that the left can latch onto to create some civil unrest, what do you see? Rioting. Looting. Destruction. It goes back to what Stephen Miller was saying. They don't have anything. They can't build. All they can do is destroy. It's the only thing that the left is good at, is destruction and death. That's all they're good for. An icon that millions of people followed, killed because of his political ideology, single-handedly because of his political ideology and the things that he believed. And there was no revolution. There was no uprising in the United States to go after those that are responsible for the rhetoric, those that are responsible for the nonsensical comments that they have made about people like Charlie Kirk and all of us over the last decade. Not a single person. And so I'll contend to you once again, we are not the same. More from Erica.
He did it to remember important moments and sayings that affected him. And one of the things he wrote in his journal was this. Every time you make a decision, it puts a mark on your soul. To those of you out there who just made that decision and took the first step toward a spiritual life, I say thank you and welcome. One day I hope you look back and realize it was the most important decision of your life, because it is. All of you, thanks. All of you who are already believers, it is your job to shepherd these people. Do not take that lightly. Water the seed of their faith. Protect it and help it grow. Every day as Charlie rode into the office, he would go through his contact list. And I know there's many of you who were impacted by this. He would go through his contact list and send Bible verses for the day. He knew that faith was a habit. The more you live it, the more it grows. But know this too. The seed has only just been planted. The enemy will tempt you the most in a time like this one. God will always be there for you, but you must choose to mark your soul again and again in the direction of Christ. Pray again. Read the Bible again. Go to church next Sunday and the Sunday after that, and break free from the temptations and shackles of this world. Being a follower of Christ is not easy. It's not supposed to be. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He said he would be persecuted. He said we would be persecuted. And Charlie knew that and happily carried his cross all the way to the end. And I want all of you to know, while Charlie died far too early, he was also ready to die. There was nothing he was putting off. There was nothing that was too hard or too painful or nothing that he just felt like he didn't want to do it. He left this world without regrets. He did 100% of what he could every day. But I want you to know something. Charlie died with incomplete work, but not with unfinished business. But I will miss him. I will miss him so much because our marriage and our family were beautiful. They still. The greatest cause in Charlie's life was trying to revive the American family. When he spoke to young people, he was always eager to tell them about God's vision for marriage and how, if they could just dare to live it out, it would enrich every part of their life in the same way that it enriched ours. And someone once asked me how Charlie and I that we kept our marriage so strong when he was busy traveling. And our little secret, it was love notes. Every Saturday, Charlie wrote one for me and he never missed a Saturday. And in every single one of them, he'd tell me what his highlight was for the week, how grateful he was for me and our babies. And always at the end, he would always end it with asking the most beautiful question. He'd always end it by asking, please let me know how I can better serve you as a husband. Charlie perfectly understood God's role for a Christian husband. A man who leads so that they can serve. to all the men watching around the world, accept Charlie's challenge and embrace true manhood. Be strong and courageous for your families. Love your wives and lead them. Love your children and protect them. Be the spiritual head of your home. But please be a leader worth following. Your wife, is not your servant. Your wife is not your employee. Your wife is not your slave. She is your helper. You are not rivals. You are one flesh working together for the glory of God. I was Charlie's confidant. I was his vault. His closest and most trusted advisor, his best friend. I poured into him and loved him so deeply, empowered him, because his love for me drove me to be a better wife. Every day he honored me, and I prayed that I could be the wife that God needed me to be for my husband. Women, I have a challenge for you too. Be virtuous. Our strength is found in God's design for our role. We are the guardians. We are the encouragers. We are the preservers. Guard your heart. Everything you do flows from it. And if you're a mother, please recognize that is the single most important ministry you have. In our home, because Charlie traveled a lot, we tried to travel with him where we could. But I made sure that when Charlie returned from work, it was his sacred landing place, away from the worries of the world. I didn't make him feel guilty for being away too long or too much or getting home too late. I always told him, home is here for you and it'll be ready for you. And I made it into this place where he wanted to be as soon as possible when he was on the road. There was no keeping score between us. We were a team, working together for the same mission. I never wanted to be the one standing between Charlie and the task that God prepared for him, had set for him. And I knew Charlie would always do his best to help me with the same. My marriage with Charlie was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I know it was the best thing that ever happened to him as well. He wanted everyone to experience that joy. And that's what's so beautiful about God's design for marriage, is that everyone can. And I could talk endlessly about it, and years to come I will. But Charlie's mission above all was aimed directly at those who aren't married. He named his organization well. He knew things were not right with America, and especially with young people, and they needed a new direction. Charlie passionately wanted to reach and save the lost boys of the West. The young men who feel like they have no direction, no purpose, no faith, and no reason to live. The men wasting their lives on distractions and the men consumed with resentment, anger, and hate. Charlie wanted to help them. He wanted them to have a home with Turning Point USA. And when he went onto campus, he was looking to show them a better path and a better life that was right there for the taking. He wanted to show them that. My husband, Charlie, he wanted to save young men just like the one who took his life. Young man. On the cross, our Savior said, "Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do." That man, that young man, I forgive him.
Arguably the most powerful, quotable lines of the night coming out of the Charlie Kirk Memorial there, as you're hearing from his wife, Erica Kirk. Even with the bloodshed and the death laid upon her husband, she forgives him, the shooter that would be.
And is what Charlie would do. The answer to hate is not hate. The answer we know from the gospel is love, and always love. Love for our enemies and love for those who persecute us. The world needs Turning Point USA. It needs a group that will point young people away from the path of misery and sin. It needs something that will lead people away from hell in this world and in the next. It needs young people pointed in the direction of truth and beauty. And so I promise you today, every part of our work will become greater. I am tremendously honored to be the new CEO of Turning Point USA. I do not take that lightly. Charlie and I were united in purpose. His passion was my passion, and now his mission is my mission. Everything that Turning Point USA built through Charlie's vision and hard work, we will make 10 times greater through the power of his memory. Chapters will grow. Thousands of new ones will be created. TPUSA Faith will add thousands of new pastors and congregations. And yes, campus events will continue. And we will continue to hold debates and dialogue. The First Amendment of our Constitution is the most human amendment. We are naturally talking beings, naturally believing beings, And the First Amendment protects our right to do both. No assassin will ever stop us from standing up to defend those rights, ever.
You've been listening to some of the commentary from Erica Kirk at yesterday's event in Glendale, Arizona, as more than 100,000 individuals swarmed the home of the Arizona Cardinals to pay respect, pay tribute, and to remember the work of Charlie Kirk. Immediately following Erica's remarks, the President of the United States and Donald Trump took the stage. We'll listen into just a few minutes of what President Trump had to say as well.
Go. By his own determination and skill, Charlie Kirk built Turning Point from his humble beginnings, the beginnings that nobody believed could ever end up something like this, into a great movement and a juggernaut of American politics. And, you know, we have a massive stadium loaded up with people, but he got tremendous crowds before he had this kind of horrible news and before we had to hear what happened so terribly. He delivered more than 250 speeches a year at over 200 colleges and universities. And that was at a time when it was not really vogue to go to colleges and universities if you were a conservative. It really took great courage. And we used to talk, and I said, you know, I think they're much more conservative than we know. And he agreed, but it just wasn't something that was happening because the radical left would do very bad things, very dangerous things. But Charlie set up chapters on 2,200 campuses and spoke at more than 1,000 churches. He launched a podcast and radio show that grew to an audience of 1 million Americans a day, one of the bigger shows on radio. And Charlie didn't just bring young people into the movement. All of a sudden, it started to grow by leaps and bounds. By 2024, we won more young people than any Republican candidate in the history of our country, including, for the first time, a majority of males under 30. Can you believe it?
And what the president, of course, is talking about there is really the impact of an organization like Turning Point USA, encouraging so many predominantly young males to get behind that movement. Some more commentary from President Trump yesterday as well in Glendale.
Every single American should take a long, hard look at the twisted soul and dark spirit of anyone who would want to kill a young man as good as Charlie, to kill anybody, but to kill a man like this, he didn't deserve this. He didn't deserve this. Our country didn't deserve this. And anyone who would make excuses for it are just out of their mind. Charlie's murder was not just an attack on one man or one movement. It was an attack on our entire nation. That was a horrible attack on the United States of America. It was an assault on our most sacred liberties and God-given rights. The gun was pointed at him, but the bullet was aimed at all of us. That bullet was aimed at every one of us. Indeed, Charlie was killed for expressing the very ideas that virtually everyone in this arena and most other places throughout our country deeply believed in. But the assassin failed in his quest because Charlie's message has not been silenced. It now is bigger and better and stronger than ever before, and it's not even close.
That's President Donald Trump at the Charlie Kirk Memorial yesterday, talking about how the bullet that unfortunately killed Kirk was meant for every single conservative, meant for every single outspoken individual that has the, to those on the left, has the audacity to speak up their mind. More from President Donald Trump.
Charles James Kirk was heinously murdered by a radicalized, cold-blooded monster for speaking the truth that was in his heart. He was violently killed because he spoke for freedom and justice, for God and country, for reason and for common sense. He was assassinated because he lived bravely. He led boldly, and he argued brilliantly without apology. He did what was right for our nation. And so on that terrible day, September 10th, 2025, our greatest evangelist for American liberty became immortal. He's a martyr now for American freedom. I know I speak for everyone here today when I say that none of us will ever forget Charlie Kirk, and neither now will history. Because while Charlie has been reunited with his Creator in heaven, his voice on earth will echo through the generations, and his name will live forever in the eternal chronicle of America's greatest patriots. He will live forever. To Charlie's incredible and beautiful widow, Erica, we know the weight of this monumental loss is almost unbearable.
That's President Donald Trump at the Charlie Kirk Memorial yesterday in Glendale, Arizona. Hundreds of thousands of people showing up to try and get a seat inside the stadium. And of course, hundreds of thousands more, millions more watching it online and throughout all of the various news outlets that covered it yesterday. So not really a whole lot to add to it. It was a long event. The live stream lasted about 9.5 hours. Wanted to bring you some of the highlights of that as the memorial took place yesterday. And I think the speeches, particularly the one from Erica, speaks for itself. And I guess my closing thought on all of it is this. And even, of course, yesterday I saw people on social media talking about how the event yesterday was akin to a Nazi Germany rally from the 1920s. That's was some of the commentary from prominent folks on the far side of the political left. I'm just going to end with this. No, we're not saying you have to be publicly mourning the loss of Charlie Kirk. If you didn't agree with the things that he stood for, nobody is forcing you to publicly mourn his death. Unlike him, nobody is going to put a gun to your neck and force you to mourn his loss. Nobody's going to do that. We just ask that you just keep your comments to yourself on it. Plain and simple. I'm not saying if you're a far left progressive radical and you hated everything that Charlie Kirk stood for, that's fine. We live in a free country where you're allowed to have those thoughts. But can you just give us a week? Can you give us a week or two to mourn the loss of our guy that you guys killed? Can you just give us that? I think that's a relatively normal thing to expect. As you can imagine, and as you have seen, unfortunately, firsthand, that's not been the case. It's not been the case at all. And so, in wrapping up the commentary this morning, this reaction, which we continue to see flow in to the the situation, the environment that is the Charlie Kirk assassination, it just goes to really prove and show how out of control those on the political left are, how completely incapable they are of reading a scene, reading a situation, looking at what is in front of them and using any semblance of common sense, any semblance of rationality to figure out what to do and what to say. And I'm not going to give light to the individuals making these incredibly stupid comments on social media. Not going to call their name out or show who they are or anything like that, because there's no reason to. But it really just proves how these people have no ability to read a situation and read what's going on. And so again, nobody is saying that you have to mourn his loss. Nobody is saying that you are required to take a moment of silence to do this or a moment of silence to do that. Nobody is going to force you to do that. It just seems like it would be a logical thing to do, to just maybe run under the radar for a couple of days, a couple of weeks. Again, after all, Charlie Kirk was killed because of the rhetoric that we're talking about. Charlie Kirk was assassinated for having a conservative lean and a conservative ideology and a religious ideology. All of that was too much for those on the progressive left to deal with, so they decided to kill him, plain and simple. And so the left, unfortunately, once again proving they have absolutely zero ability to critically think on a situation and to critically handle something that they, in large part, are responsible for. So hats off to the folks at Turning Point USA yesterday for putting on this incredible event. Not only President Trump himself for attending, but the entire cabinet showing up, showing their solidarity with Charlie Kirk. Really classy situation there. And of course, we'll keep our eye on some of this coverage. There is another court appearance that I believe is scheduled for next Monday, the 29th, that will take place out in Utah. Not immediately clear what's going to happen with that, but we'll keep an eye on it right here on the Nick Craig Show. Quick heads up, the North Carolina General Assembly is back in Raleigh today as they are set to introduce officially legislation called Irina's Law. Today is the 1 month anniversary of the death of Irina Zaruska on the Charlotte light rail. Lawmakers have a full bill that looks to deal with a lot of the issues that allowed that situation to take place. We'll have a full coverage and a full recap of that coming up for you tomorrow morning right here on the Nick Craig Show. Thanks to the Law Group here in Wilmington for their continued support. You can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. And thanks to all of you for joining us on this Monday edition, 7 a.m. streaming live, YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and of course 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. We're back here tomorrow morning for the Nick Craig Show.